misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. If you've got a question or would like to make a comment on Alaska Gold Trails, feel free to give us a call. Our number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. Right off the bat, folks, I'd like to make a few comments about some activities around town. First of all, at the University of Alaska Mining Extension, we're going to be having a geochemical prospecting class. And if you'd like to have more information about geochemical prospecting, this, of course, is for the beginner. You can give the office a call up there. The number is 474-7702. That's 474-7702. And the hours to call are between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. In addition to that, I'd like to make a comment regarding, spring is here, and people are getting their summer things out and putting their winter things away. I got one of my summer items out here just recently. I have a summer car that I drive around town, and I took it over to University Car Wash the other day and gave it a wash job, got it all cleaned up, went to start it, and somehow water had gotten underneath the hood. And got the distributor wet. No, I was in a dilemma. There were people stacked up behind me. And Mr. Chappell come over there, and he helped me dry out the distributor. And I had, of course, run the battery down trying to get it started. And he jumped the car and got it all started and working. And I just wanted to say thank you to Mr. Chappell for being the Alaska-type gentleman that he is. In addition to that, I want to talk a little bit about the rock and mineral class that's currently going on at the University of Alaska Mining Extension. Why, that's the most funnest class that we've ever had. I've got 17 very interesting and happy students there, and the fact is they're having so much fun. Why, it's so much fun, in fact, that it's enough to jerk off a boot, jump up on a table, and do a jig. And so if you're interested in these kind of classes that are that much fun, at the same time, you can learn a lot, well, give us a call at 474-7702 anytime between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m., and we'll be glad to give you information regarding these mining extension classes that are open for the public. Also like to mention that we've got a little mini gold class for the beginners coming up here in just a few weeks, and you might want to call on that class as well. It's a three-day class, and we'll enjoy the aspects of a field trip along with it. So give us a call. Once again, 474-7702. And I want to do a little contest right now. Are you ready for a contest? We'd like to do a little contest. I've got a sponsor. I'd like to know who they are, where they are, and what they do. And what we'll do here is we're going to give away a 1 ounce silver ingot to the third caller that calls me. And for the first two callers, we're going to give away geodes. Crystalline geodes. The silver ingot will be provided by Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street here in Fairbanks, Alaska. And the crystalline geodes will be provided by Alaska Prospectors, located at 504 College Road. So with that in mind, our number here, once again, is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. What we'd like to know is what sponsor has the phone number 456-6156. That's 456-6156. And who they are, where they are, and what they do. So with that in mind, we'll go to the first caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hector's.
Not quite. The number is four. The number, once again, is 456-6156. And while we're waiting for that, we'll just listen to this.
I have this reoccurring nightmare. Here I am in the middle of a lingerie department, having discreetly made my selection and slipped over to the cash desk and Just when I think I've made a clean getaway, I hear this big, booming voice come over the intercom.
Mrs. Jones just bought a 36C.
I just hate it.
The reasons many people hate shopping for intimate apparel are the reasons people love shopping at Lamont's semi-annual foundation sale on right now. You save 25 to 30% on your favorites by Playtex, Maidenform, Warner's, Pam, Liliette, and Vanity Fair. It's all part of Lamont's store-wide stock-up sale on right now.
Lamont's semi-annual foundation sale has made the nightmare of shopping for intimate apparel a dream come true. I love Lamont's.
Lamont's semi-annual foundation sale. It's the sale you love.
And the sale is on right now at Lamont's.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, Gabe's Auto, Metro Field.
That's right, ma'am. Gabe's Auto. And they're at Metro Field, and what do they do?
They service automobiles.
That's right. Okay, you're my first caller. So the other one escaped me, so you're my first answer, and you've just won a crystalline geode from Alaskan Prospectors. If you'd like to stop over there at 504 College Road and pick it up, it's waiting for you. You don't have to come up to Washington Plaza to pick up a receipt.
I don't get the silver ring.
No, you were too fast.
Okay.
So what's your first name?
Jenny.
Jenny? I'm here every week, Jenny. Keep trying, will
you? Okay. Thanks, Jim. Bye.
Hi, you're on the air. You're the second caller.
I'm the second caller.
Yes,
the first one escaped you was the first one named Hutcherson. She's right, it is Gabe's, and they not only repair autos, and they also repair trucks and do a little welding and a whole bunch of other stuff. They're located off Van Horn Road.
Yes, sir, you're right on. And what's your first name?
Pete.
Pete, stop over to Alaskan Prospectors and pick up that geode, and stay with me each week.
Okay.
We're going to give lots of silver, lots of things away here.
All right.
Thanks, buddy. You're on the air.
Yes. That's Gabe's Truck and Auto.
That's right. And where are they located?
Well, the phone book says 2059 Donald Avenue, but I thought they were on Van Horn.
They're off of Van Horn on Donald Avenue. That's
yes.
Right. But that's fine. And what do they do?
Oh, they do IM inspections. They have two large shops. They do engine repair, tire repair. They have three wreckers available.
Do you do business there?
Nope.
You know a lot about them for somebody. Well, where are you getting all your information?
Listening to you?
Wow, good girl. I'm glad to hear that you're listening to me. Well, thanks so much. Well, what's your name?
Lena.
Oh, is this Aunt Lena?
Yeah.
Oh, Aunt Lena, you know what you've got to do now. You've got to come up here and get this certificate.
Okay, is that for the 1 ounce?
Yes, ma'am. It's for the 1 ounce.
Oh, goody!
You finally won it, did you?
Yeah.
Did you win a geode before?
Yeah.
And how did you like it?
Oh, I love mine.
You do, huh? Some of these people don't realize how nice those geodes are.
Oh, my, I sure like mine.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for the call, Adelina.
Yeah, go down to... You come
up here to Washington Plaza and pick up this certificate, and then you go over to Oxford Assaying and Refining.
Yeah, I know where they are.
And pick up your 1 ounce silver ingot from them.
Okay.
Tell the folks over there at Oxford that you're happy to play the game here on Alaska Gold Trail.
Yeah, I like to listen to you whenever I can.
Well, thanks, kid.
Okay.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Okay, we're here at KFAR Studios on Alaska Gold Trails. My guest today is Harold Starkel, and he's going to tell... Well, I'll let Harold tell us about what he's going to tell us. Harold, welcome to Alaska Gold Trails.
What you want to hear? You want to hear when I first came to the territory?
Well, let's start with, where were you born, Harold?
Well, I was born in Tacoma, Washington.
You were born in Tacoma, Washington?
Yeah, 1913.
1913. That makes you a few years old, huh? You've had a lot of experiences?
Yeah, a couple.
And were you raised in Tacoma?
No. My folks moved to Montana when I was a year old.
And?
Went to Lewistown, Montana, and my dad finally bought a big ranch there and raised cattle and lots of hay and grain and stuff like that.
You were a cowboy then?
Yeah, I guess that's what you'd call it, a cowboy. We had lots of cattle there, and we used to round them up and stuff. Anyway, I didn't especially care for that life. I used to do a little trapping in the winter. I got a little money. That's the only way I could get any money. And them days, your folks didn't give you money every week like they do now. Anyway, the only money I got, I finally did a little trapping, trapped some muskrats and skunks and and badgers and things. I got enough money anyway. When I was 17 years old, I left and went to Seattle. Another kid and I, we got on the old Yukon. That was in April, I believe it was, April 1930. And we got ourselves a steerage ticket, which was $37, to Cordova. Anyway, we got to Cordova, and then we...
Tell the folks out there what a steerage ticket is.
A steerage ticket is where you're right up on the front end, up on the bow of the boat down below, where everybody is... in other words, you don't have a stateroom like you do in first class.
I see.
You just have a lot of bunks in there, and you all eat together on one big table. Of course, they do in first class, too, but, well, first class, you might have tables. We had one great big long table where they'd... I guess they had the leftovers from the first class they gave us or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got to Cordova. I don't know, it take about pretty near a week, I guess, in them days, on the old Yukon. And then we stayed there all night, Northern Hotel, and then the next morning we got on the train and went to Chittenaw, the old Coffee River Northwestern Railroad, which is... Quite a ride on that, because when lunchtime comes, the old train stops, and the engineer and fireman, they come back to have their lunch. After lunch, they go back, and we go on again.
It was the time clock wasn't all that important.
No, they didn't run on no schedule. That schedule didn't mean anything to them.
Harold, let me see. Let me check this call here.
Okay.
Residual call, perhaps.
Yeah.
Go ahead. And so they stopped the train. Did they ever stop the train for any other activity?
Oh, yes. In the hunting season, they used to hunt ducks and stuff. The engineer and fireman go out and shoot ducks for a while and then come back and go on. And they didn't get in a hurry. Fact is, I don't think anybody got in a hurry in them days. They used to get in a big hurry.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we finally got to Chittenaw, and that takes that's 130 miles, which takes all day.
Uh-huh.
To get there. And anyway, we went over. I finally got a job for the Alaska Road Commission. And I worked for the Alaska Road Commission all that summer. Worked for, the foreman was Harry Moore. We was out at around Paxton. Live in tents from Paxton over to Black Rapids and Donnelly Dome was our section of road. Them days, it was just a trail through the, and a little gravel trail. Well, it wasn't even gravel, it was mud trail, I guess. Anyway, in the summertime, it kept us busy putting in bridges because they'd wash out and we'd put them back in, and they'd washing out. But, anyway, after that fall, I think we stayed there till the 10th of September. If I remember correctly, the 10th of September, it started snowing. And when it did, everything closed up. We stayed there at the Isabel Pass until we were sure there was no more travelers going across with any cars or anything. So then I went back into Chittenaw and stayed there for a while. And anyway, a friend of mine, he was living in Valdez. He stayed in Valdez, so I went over there and spent the winter there in Valdez. And Bill Egan and I went over to... We were going to go do some flying, so we had to go to Seward to get our physical. They didn't have no doctor in Valdez at them days, so we had to go get a Seward for a doctor to get it to have our examinations for flying. And that took us at least a week, I guess. We went over in a boat, and then we had to stay there for a couple of days to see old Doc Haverstock, and then back again. It's I guess Bill Egan done a little flying, but I didn't do too much. But I went back and worked on the road commission road again. And then finally went to work at Nabesna Mining Corporation. They was, Carl Whittem had found the mine up there, and I think it was 1920, 28, 29. Him and Steve Kansky was coming from Shoshana with their horses, and they stopped there and doing a little prospecting, and anyway, a bear had been digging for a gopher, and digging up a lot of this ore, and so... Carl Whittem took a lot of these samples down, and it turned out to be quite rich. So that's where the mine was originally started. That was the old bear claim is what it was called, where it was first started.
That was on top of the mountain.
And that was clear up on the top of the mountain, yeah. Then we went down and what was 100 feet, I think, from the top of the mountain. We put in the first tunnel. Put in a tunnel there and got some pretty good ore, but most of it seemed to be down. So we went down 250 feet from the top of the mountain and put in, that was our main tunnel that we put in there. And that went back there, oh, I would say at least a quarter of a mile, and a lot of crosscuts going off, and we took out a lot of ore out of that. Of course, we had a tram line. They used to haul the ore from the mine down to the mill. We had the mill down.
Kind of mill was that, Harold?
Well, that was, we had a, finally put in a cyanide mill. It was a, first we had a ball mill that the ore would come down and go through a crusher and into a ball mill and grind it all up, and they ran some of it over some of the tables. We had gold tables there, and then we had a cyanide plant. We would go through that. Mm-hmm. And then the concentrates were all sacked up and shipped out to Tacoma Smelter. But in the early days, before they got the road in there, Harold Gillum used to come in and fly the stuff out.
Uh-huh.
And fly it into Copper Center. So anyway, after they finally built a road from Salina into Nebesna, which I think was 42 miles. We used to walk that to start with.
Now, explain to us geographically, Harold, just where this mine is. You go down to Paxson?
You go to Gokona.
Gokona.
Yeah, and then from Gokona through Chestachina and up to Salina.
Uh-huh.
That used to be the end of the road.
Uh-huh.
And then we used to walk in. It was in on the Nebesna River. It would be at the headwaters of the Copper, with the Copper River between the Copper and the, it's in the Wrangell Mountains.
Uh-huh.
I don't know whether anybody knows.
That's east of here.
Yeah, it's, it's, you know where Northway is. Would be up the Nebesna River from Northway, mm-hmm. which isn't too far from there, and Shoshana is over mm-hmm. in that area too.
Okay. So, now if we were to go there today, could we go? What road would that be close to today?
Well, from here, it'd probably go to Tok and then down to Salina and up to Besen, but I don't think you could drive up there because the last time I was there, the road was in pretty bad shape. Always has been just a trail up there.
Harold, let's catch a call here for you.
Yeah.
Hi, you're on the air. Do you have a question for Harold?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay, go ahead, Harold.
Yeah, well, anyway, then we got down there 650 feet from the top and put in another tunnel. So we had two tram lines gone in from the 650-foot level. We ran raises on up and mined all that out. Well, when I first went to work there, I was went to work as a mucker, was shoveling ore into the cars, and I'd done that for a couple of weeks, I guess, and then they finally made a miner out of me. And the old mine foreman, he decided that I'd be a better miner than mucker because, anyway, after a year or so, maybe it was two years, anyway, he finally quit, the foreman quit, so Carl Whittem, he gave me the job as being mine foreman. So I was mine foreman for quite a few years until the time when the war started. But we had, I would say, around 75 people working there most of the time because we had run three shifts in the mill, run two shifts in the mine. We used to change every month. We work 1 month days and 1 month nights. We change around.
What was the pay there?
And the pay, well, muckers was getting $5 a day in their room and board, and miners was getting $6 a day in room and board, and mine foreman, I was getting $7 a day in room and board.
Let's try this call, Harold. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes.
Did you have a question for Harold?
No, about the Nebesna Road. That's a state-maintained road back in there now. You can drive all the way back to the mine.
You can. It was, well, the last time I was there, it was pretty bad shape. I don't know whether they... I know it was maintained up to the old Nebesna Lodge, not the new one, but the old one, which Bill Ellis owns.
Right. And
yeah.
The road's still good up to there, and it's only about a mile walk if you want to.
Yeah, somewhere. I walked that quite a few times.
Right. But that old mine's still there. It's really interesting.
Yeah, well, yeah, the old mine is still there. They haven't done anything to it since we closed it down when the war started.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, just thought I'd pass it on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Tell us, they were getting, how much were you getting then as mill foreman, or as mine foreman?
I was getting $7 a day, and room and board, which run to about $210 a month, I guess it was.
In those days, what year again was that, Harold?
Well, that was in the 30s. I worked there from, what was it, about 30, 33, up to the war started, 40, 41. 41, I guess, the last time the mine ever operated. It's never operated since then. And in the, during that time, we took out 2.5 tons of gold.
2.5 tons of gold.
2.5 tons
and,
was taken out.
So you worked there how many years then?
I worked there about 10 years,
about
I guess.
About 10 years
yeah.
before the war shut you down.
Yeah.
Well, we want to get back with you in just a minute, Harold, and talk about what you did after your mining experience there in Nabesna, right after these messages. I want to talk just a moment about my friends over at 208 Wendell Street. That's where the miners sell their gold, of course, and everyone knows that these people, Oxford Assaying and Refining, are known as the precious metals people here in Fairbanks, Alaska. Once again, they're located at 208 Wendell Street. But in addition to buying gold, Oxford also has some fascinating precious metal gift and investment ideas, including silver bars, silver ingots, silver coins of various sizes. And they also have gold coins of various sizes, gold bars of various sizes for investment purposes. In addition to that, they've got a variety of nuggets over there, and you have to keep in mind that no two nuggets are the same. And as a result, if you have someone special in mind that needs a very, very special gift, stop over at Oxford Assaying and Refining, select a nugget that you might feel is appropriate for that someone special. In addition to that, Oxford also offers a daily quote line for the prices on gold, silver, and platinum. That number is 452-7858. So if you would like to have daily quotes on gold, silver, and platinum, give Oxford's quote line a call at 452-7858. If you want general information regarding precious metals or information about the gold, silver, platinum markets, give Oxford a call at 456-3967, and the folks over there will be happy to help you out with any of the questions that you might have on these precious metals. So once again, that's Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street. Their number once again is 456-3967. In addition to that, I'd like to talk a little bit about B&L Pawn Shop, and they're located at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman, and a lot of people say that B&L Pawn Shop is the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks. And as far as I'm concerned, folks, that's an understatement. It's more like having a giant garage sale in one room. One-stop shopping will get you everything. Just to give you an idea of what they have over there, let me list a few items. Jewelry, clocks, stereos, headphones, guns, scopes, winches, propane bottles, tools, hats, musical instruments, cameras, TVs, radios, typewriters, and the list goes on and on and on. In fact, you can get anything at B&L Pawn. If your money is a little tight, they'll be happy to help you out. Bring in anything you feel is of value or use, and the folks at B&L will loan you the money to get through to better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you on that too. So if you're looking for anything from snowshoes to diamond rings, see the folks at B&L Pawn. That's 605 Gaffney. Jim, Bruce, and Killer will be happy to deal. Killer never says no. They'll sell anything but the chandelier, and only then because it's attached. However, if you talk nice to Killer, you never know about that chandelier. She might even sell that. That's B&L Pawn Shop, corner of Gaffney and Cushman. Their phone number is 452-6491. They're open from 9 to 7, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 Saturday, and 12 to 5 on Sunday. And remember, tell Killer you heard it here on Alaska Gold Trails, and she'll sweeten the deal.
This message is about your money if you own a small business in Fairbanks. How you can structure your organization, reduce your business taxes, add value to your benefits, maximize every financial aspect of your going concern. The Successful Business Owner Seminar is coming starting May 3rd. Fairbanks' Ron Howenstein and CPA Bill Kohler will share a wealth of information with you in only 10 and a half hours. Details in the green and white brochure in your mailbox this week, or call for more information 479-7277. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. The Successful Business Owner Seminar. Full details in your mailbox coming soon.
Harold, we were talking just a few minutes ago about how much gold they took out of the Nabesna mine. Once again, how much was that?
2.5 tons.
2.5 tons of gold.
Yeah.
And you worked for them for 10 years. Following that, the war shut you down. But
yeah.
Following that period, what did you do? Where did you go? Did you go in the service?
No, I didn't go at the service when the war started. I went down to Seattle. Went to work for Seattle Tacoma Shipbuilding Corporation. I was a welder down there during that time. Finally got to be a welding instructor, and I was finally called up for my physical, and I went down past my physical and thought I was going to go to the Army, but the outfit I worked for, they insisted that I stay there. They got a deferment for me. They said I was more important to the building the ships, I guess. We were building aircraft carriers. So I never did get to go to the service. I wanted to go, but I never did get to go because they kept getting deferments for me all the time.
And so how well, you start out in the shipyards welding.
Yeah.
You went and as a welder.
Yeah, I went and welded for a while, and then they finally put me on as a welding instructor, teaching some of the girls to weld. I guess they had lots of women there them days. And finally I got to be lead man over the welding instructors, and we had quite a few instructors there.
I see.
And I worked at that until after the war. When the war ended, well, naturally all the shipyard closed down.
And then did you, following that period of time, did you come back to Alaska?
Not for a couple of years. Then I went down to California for a little while before I came back to Alaska again.
When did you come back, Harold?
I guess it must have been about 1960 or something like that. I was gone for quite a while, yeah.
Well, you know, you had a lot of experience with the roadhouses in Alaska, all the way from Valdez, all the way up to Fairbanks, and some of the roadhouses that branched off from the Richardson.
Yeah, that was...
Can you tell us a little bit about the roadhouses coming out of Valdez and how they were spaced?
Well, out of Valdez, the first roadhouse was Wortman. That was after you got through the canyon. Of course, them days we didn't come through the canyon. We came up around over the top. The road came around, on the lower end. It went up, went clear up above the canyon, came into Wortman. And from there, I guess the roadhouses were spaced as far as you'd drive your horses during one day, I guess. Then they went on over to, I believe it was Ernestine, Tikal. Went to Tikal was the next roadhouse, then Ernestine, and then we went to Upper Tomsina Roadhouse, then Copper Center.
What were these roadhouses like? Can you kind of describe what a roadhouse might have for you and how you were treated?
Well, they were treated real well, and I think practically all of them had a still. They always had whiskey in all of them. They had good meals. Well, it was all served on family style. Whenever it come time to eat, everybody got to the table and would eat there. Your bed, it didn't necessarily mean that you had a room by yourself. There might be two or three other people sleeping in the same room with you in them days. But everybody seemed to get along pretty good them days. There wasn't fighting like they do now, I guess.
What kind of beds did they have? They have regular...
They had regular beds. It was mostly wooden beds. It was made out of wooden frames. Some of them had for springs. They didn't have springs. They had ropes. It would run ropes back and forth, you know, and throw a mattress on that or sleeping bag, whatever you had.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and sleep on that. And Ma Barnes run the roadhouse in at Copper Center. Mm-hmm. That was the old roadhouse. But everybody liked the old gal. And the same way with at Gulcana, the old Gulcana roadhouse was burned. It's not there anymore. It was a big log one. Griffiths, I used to call her Ma Griffiths, owned that. It seems like several of the roadhouses were owned by women, single women. I know down at Lower Tonsina, that's down towards Chittenaw, that was owned by, they always called them Ma Lampson owned that one. Yeah, so that's what I say, most of the roadhouses. Then you get up to Sourdough, that was owned by Hazel and Tiki. I never did know their last name because I don't think they were married. It didn't make any difference anyway. But
what year was this again? Then?
This was in the 30s, 1930 and 31 was when Tiki and Hazel had it when I was there. They had a fox Grace Fox there, too, right? And I think Hazel finally died. She's buried right up there on the hill. And I don't know what happened to Tiki.
What was the, what did they raise the Fox for?
Furs? Yeah.
Well, that was a pretty lively business.
Yeah, that was a pretty lively business then days was Fox, because they take down Prince William Sound, lots of the islands there was all Fox Islands. They raised Fox down there. In fact, just the one winter when I was down there, one of the Indians down there with the name of Zoroff, he had a boat. So he says, if you buy the gas for me, I'll take you down. We were down fishing and stuff, which we did. There was two or three of us, four of us went down. And of course, we put out our crab pots down there, and in just a couple hours, you get a pot full of crabs. And we had a washed up. We went ashore and built a big fire and threw in the crabs, and we'd sit and eat crabs. But anyway, we went to this one Fox Island. He had a still, too, was making whiskey. And so it was in the spring, and so he says, well, this fellow's will catch some herring for me for my fox, so I'll give you all the whiskey you want. So we went out with a skiff, and the herring was so thick you could just bail them up in the skiff. We had a skiff full in no time. But anyway, it didn't take us only a few hours to fill all the barrels he had there with herring. Well, he gave us all the whiskey we wanted. In fact, he got too much. That's the first time I've ever passed out, I guess.
You really overdid it, did you?
Yeah, they carried me back on the boat. When I woke up in the morning, I had me tied down in bed.
You're a little rambunctious.
Yeah,
there,
they said I kept wanting to put my feet up on the hot stove, but I didn't drink too much liquor after that anymore.
Learned a good lesson there, didn't you?
But it seemed like every place you went, everybody had a still going someplace.
Yeah? Did the roadhouses have stills?
The roadhouses all had stills, yeah. They had.
During Prohibition, huh?
Yeah, that was during Prohibition. Doc Baylock, that was out of Copper Center, he had a still going there. I think practically all of them had a still. I never told you they had one, but they always could bring out the whiskey.
I tell them, there's always plenty of whiskey around.
Yeah, there always was plenty of whiskey around. You didn't have no problem if you wanted to drink. They could always bring out the bottle.
Well, look, Harold, I want to talk a little bit more about the roadhouses that came up after the Copper Center Roadhouse in just a minute after these couple of messages that we have. I want to talk for a moment about our favorite hotel down in Anchorage, downtown Anchorage, Days Inn. And for those folks from Fairbanks that are traveling to Anchorage that need a place to stay, I'd like to let you know that whether you're traveling for business or pleasure, the Days Inn Anchorage, you can expect personal service, quality accommodations, and affordable rates. And give you an idea of some of the conveniences that they have to offer. They're located downtown at 321 East 5th Avenue. That's 5th and Cordova Street. They have 116 rooms, free parking, and they opened in Anchorage in 1984. They, of course, have an airport limousine and airport courtesy telephone. Rental cars are available, and they also have non-smoking rooms and a 24-hour restaurant. Room service is available, wake-up and message service, in-house movies, satellite TV, free local calls, commercial rates, government rates, major credit cards are accepted, and they also have exercise facilities and a lounge. Once again, they're convenient to all downtown businesses and facilities, and if you'd like to make reservations and or obtain information, you can call their toll-free number, 1-800-325-2525. That's 1-800-325-2525. That's a lot of fives in there. At any rate, that's Days Inn, located at downtown Anchorage.
When you buy a new Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury, you get a fine vehicle recognized worldwide for its quality. But what really counts most of all is how you are taken care of after the sale. We can provide a service plan which includes everything from wiper blades to oil and filter changes, all in the price of the car. But best of all, we have 45 vehicles dedicated to keeping you on the road while your car truck is being serviced. 45 cars for our customers at no cost, and nobody else in town has even one. Quality care for quality customers right now, right here at Seekins Ford Lincoln Mercury. See you here.
There's so much to choose from on the cable television menu.
The sports look pretty good. I'd like a little baseball and a touch of fishing.
A little of this for starters, a little of that for an entree. It's your choice.
Boy, all these movies that are only on cable. Should I try a suspense or maybe a western or a musical for a change?
With cable television, you have a delicious selection of movies, sports, news programs, family entertainment, music, the arts, the shows you want most.
Now for dessert. Broadway shows, fluffy little comedies, cartoons. I'll have one of each.
All in all, there's one word that describes cable television.
It's a feast.
Right.
Turn on Cook Cablevision and see the Billy Graham Crusade on Superstation TBS at 620 on Channel 6, Channel 12 Eielson. And tonight at 8, it's the Kmart Greater Greensboro Open Golf Tournament on USA Channel 21. Laugh with a Talking Horse on Mr. Ed on Nickelodeon, Channel 8 at 7 o'clock. Catch it all on Cook Cablevision during National Cable Month or call 452-7191 and see what you've been missing.
I want to let the listening audience know that we're here with Harold Starkle today. If you've got a question of Harold or like to make a comment on Alaska Gold Trails, give us a call. The number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Harold, we were talking about the roadhouses we were coming up, the fact that they all had stills, and I think we got to the Copper Center Roadhouse, and we're making our way towards Fairbanks, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, after Copper Center, we come to Gulcana Roadhouse. And, of course, Gulcona, it was off the road a couple of miles. And then we've gone up to Sourdough, which is the old original roadhouse is still there, I guess. I guess about the only one that's original that's standing along the road. But after Sourdough, then you went up to Myers. It was a fellow by the name of Al Norwood. He had that roadhouse. He also had a still because after he sold that roadhouse, he came to work for Nebesna and worked for me, and he used to tell me about his still that he had there. Fact is, in the early days, you had lots of people that was up here that was hiding from the law, I guess, because Al Norwood used to tell me he was up here for 7 years. He was from New York, and he said, well, now 7 years is up, he says, they'll declare me dead. He says, they won't know they'll be looking for me anymore. But he never did tell me why he was up there. But I know on the boat, I've run out to several people that claimed they worked for Al Capone, and they was had to leave town for a while. But anyway, it was coming about the roadhouses. We get up to Myers, and then from Myers you go to Paxton Roadhouse. Now, the old roadhouse, the remains of the old roadhouse was still across the road from the original one now.
Mm-hmm.
That used to be the old original roadhouse there.
Uh-huh. That was a log structure.
Yeah, I have a couple of pictures of that, too. Uh-huh. That's the old roadhouse. And but anyway, from there, then you go on up over the pass. Now, Summit Lodge was not there at them times. That was before it was built. But you go up to over the pass. McClellan Lodge was the next one. That was by the old McClellan River, where just below Fielding Lake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a big log roadhouse. In fact, they all were, I guess, more or less them days. And then from McClellan, then you went on down to Miller Roadhouse. Miller Roadhouse was down by, well, Miller Creek is down there. And from that, you go to Black Rapids, Black Rapids Roadhouse, and then on down to Donley. And then we went on up to Delta.
Let's catch a call here, Harold.
Yeah.
Hi, you're on the air. Do you have a question for Harold?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're talking about Doc Blaylock?
Yeah, Doc Blaylock, yeah.
Yeah, he was at Tazelina.
Yeah, Tazelina, yeah. Tazelina Hill.
I was just listening to you on the radio. I was born and raised out of that part of the country.
Yeah, you were?
Yeah.
Down around Copper Center and through there, around town?
Copper Center.
Yeah.
You know Frank Carroll?
Yeah. Did you know Fox?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Squeaky Pete?
Yeah, oh yeah, Squeaky Pete, yeah.
Squeaky Pete?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was born and raised right down in there.
Yeah.
And I've been up here since 1939.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah.
I heard a lot of those names like that coming around, Squeaky Pete and Shorty Joe and all this. You guys all have shortened names. And
yeah,
little...
and then there was one father that used to work with. He used to call him Two-Step Jack.
Yeah?
For Two-Step
you two
Jack.
Guys knew, both knew Two-Step Jack and Squeaky Pete?
Yeah.
Well, that's marvelous. You know anybody else?
Well, probably, if you start naming names around there.
Tell us a story about one of these guys. The two of you tell us a story about one of these guys.
Well... Oh, you mean
I don't know.
This was in 1930. The winter of 30 and 31, I guess it was, when Fox, he took it. They got him and old lady Barnes, they got drinking, I guess. So he got, I don't know, they got arguing about something. He took his 30-30 out and took a shot at her. And
yeah.
Remember that? just creased her scalp.
Yeah, I remember that real well.
You remember that, yeah. Anyway, when they took him over to Valdez. He was in jail over there. I guess the Marshal Sullivan took him over there. He was in jail, I guess, for maybe 3-4 months. Anyway, when they let him out, she had the plane over there waiting for him to bring him back.
Yeah.
Yeah, she took him back again.
Yeah, I remember old Big Carl Carlson. He was carrying the
bail. Yeah, Big Carl, yeah.
Yeah.
He was chewing snooze.
Yeah, old chewing snooze.
Yeah.
Yeah. That Hazel, that was, I mean, Sardou, that was Hazel Vector.
Yeah, I didn't know her. Hazel and Tiki.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were there.
Yeah, they weren't married, were they?
No, they were not.
I didn't think they were, yeah.
Yeah.
Hazel is buried up there on the hill.
Yeah, right up in the hill there.
Yeah.
Just right on the side of Sardo in the north end.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, them used to be the days back then, days.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Them were the good old days, huh?
Yeah, you can say that again.
Yeah.
Everybody used to have a lot of fun down there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, when it's still at every roadhouse, it's no wonder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the roads were just trails through there, just dirt trails through the trees and stuff of them days.
Yeah, that's
all
it was.
Yeah, we used to drive old Model T dump trucks.
Yeah. Yeah, then when I got old enough, I was working for my dad when he was on the telephone line crew there.
Yeah.
Running the telephone line.
Oh, yeah.
We used to have a telephone exchange there at Copper Center, the switchboard.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And then I worked for my dad for a while, and I went to work driving a dump truck.
Yeah.
Over on the Glen Highway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I worked up around Paxton and everything like that.
Yeah.
Well, then, were good days. I let you finish it off now.
Right.
I let you finish it off telling your stories.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks a lot for the call, partner.
Yeah, okay.
Bye now.
Bye.
Harold, good story.
Yeah, he brings back all of the memories of some of the fellas.
You got any more like that shot in the crease of the head?
Well, yeah, I have another one. Sullivan, well, his son was the mayor of Anchorage here, not too back away. Anyway, Sullivan, I've got some pictures of one of the girls there. I finally met her one day down, a little old gray-haired lady down in Seattle, and I was telling her about Lillian Sullivan. She said, well, I'm Lillian. I didn't recognize her. But anyway, I've got to tell you about one of the Indians over there at Chestachina shot one of the other ones in the back of the head. So they were going to call in Sullivan to arrest this guy or do something about him. And he went up there and he said, it's just suicide. He says, I don't want to be bothered with him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they just call it suicide and forget it. So they wasn't too particular in them days, I guess.
I guess not.
Yeah.
Harold, I want to talk a little bit about some of the folks that support this program. I want to talk a little bit about Robbie Ginther over there at Tip Top Chevrolet. They're located at 1916 South Cushman. And Tip Top Chevrolet Buick has been in business for 32 years. It's been owned and operated by three generations of Ginthers. Robbie Ginther is now the general manager of Tip Top Chevrolet. And to give you a little bit of information regarding some of the new equipment that they or new models they have over there, the one that's most important to the mining community, of course, is the trucks. And you've never driven anything quite like the 1989 full-size Chevy pickup available right now at Tip Top Chevrolet. It's the hardest-working pickup with the longest regular cab in Chevrolet history. And it's got a new chassis system, a new aerodynamic shape with a new rear-wheel anti-lock brake system, an Instatrak shift on the fly on the four-wheel drive. The 1989 full-size Chevy pickup. It's new, it's exciting, and it's here in Fairbanks at Tip Top Chevrolet, your Chevy Team Alaska dealer. Drop on over and take a look. And don't forget, buckle up with Tip Top Chevrolet. Once again, they're located at 1916 South Cushman here in Fairbanks, Alaska. Their phone number is 452-8211. And tell Robbie over there you heard about him here on Alaska Gold Trails from Jim Madonna. And one of our sponsors, one of the fabricators of equipment here in the interior of Alaska, I used to say Fairbanks, but in reality they're out at North Pole. In fact, they're located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. That's Hector's Welding.
Hector's has been serving Alaska for many years. Their 14,400 square foot shop is capable of handling the most demanding work quickly and efficiently. And as all the plaster miners here in Alaska know, Hector's is noted for his manufacturing of mining equipment. In fact, his mining equipment fabrication is their specialty, including sluice boxes, conveyors, feeders, grizzlies, and screening plants. They also fabricate specialized riffles and punch plates. They have portable welding units for fast on-site repairs. And also, I'd like to point out that they are the distributors for flocculants. Hector's is the gel log distributor. There's a free test kit available to the plaster miners of Alaska. All you have to do is stop out at Hector's and pick up the kit. And remember, that particular kit is free. So wherever Alaska miners are working, Hector's is the first name in gold recovery equipment. Located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway, give them a call out there. That's 488-6432. Once again, their phone number is 488-6432. And tell them that you heard about them on Alaska Gold Trails. We're here with Harold Starkle, and Harold, we've got a call on the line. Let's see what we've got here. Hi, do you have a question?
I was just going to compliment you on this program. I thought I was been here quite a while, but I haven't, according to that call. I've been here since 47, but I know that one that was talking to him just before me. He's from Copper Center. I've known him for a long time. And I wanted to ask him one other question. He said he used to ranch up around Boothstown, Montana. Wonder if you knew any of the Delaney's up there. There were cattle ranchers in there, too, the 30s.
Yeah, I've heard of the name, yes.
Ed Delaney.
Yeah, my dad had his ranch down the river from down near Hanover.
Yeah, they were my wife's uncles.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Long time ago.
You know, Barnett, she's from Lewistown, Montana.
Who?
Ruth Barnett.
Ruth Barnett.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, she's from Lewistown, Montana.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
If you was there, you could go over and talk to her.
You know, folks, it's unfortunate the phone lines are lit up now, and we're running out of time.
Carry on.
I'm sorry, my friends. Yeah. I hate to break this up.
That's
I really
okay.
do. This is great. And thank you for your call, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right.
And I want to thank the rest of you for giving us a call here. I'm sorry I'm not going to be able to take the phone calls, but we'll be back in just a second after these messages.
We've built a strong, thriving state here in Alaska with a stable, responsible government that serves us well today. We've thrived because we've insisted we have to reinvest the benefits Alaska offers. That's the key to our future, reinvestment in Alaska's greatest resource, our people.
Back in the 70s, I had a situation where I was informed my brother was being abused in California. I went down, took steps to bring him into the state. Contacted many of the agencies that serve for the developmentally disabled here in Alaska. It enabled him to learn a trade, which has enabled him to maintain a job. He also lives independently, well, quasi-independently in a group home, where he can go, just like you and I, to a job and come home and live a normalized life, or as close a normalized life as possible.
Responsibility to Alaska citizens. Let's keep our commitment to our greatest resource. A message from the Alaska State Employees Association, AFSCME, in the public service.
Harold, I want to thank you for joining me on Alaska Gold Trails today. We certainly appreciated you joining us.
Yeah, I've got lots of other things I could talk about, but
well, maybe we can get you back on another time. I noticed the phone lines lit up, and we're anxious to hear more of your stories. How about it?
Yeah, well, can't next month because I'm going to be on jury duty next month.
Okay, we'll work out a time.
Yeah.
Okay, real good. Thank you very much, folks. Thanks for joining us here on Alaska Gold Trails. Next week's guest will be Hector Terrio from Hector's Welding. It's been fun, folks. This is Jim Madonna on Alaska Gold Trails. Until next week, happy prospecting.